الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء اتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد عباد الله فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. أي عباد الله لازلنا في سياق عرض سلسلة أخطاء المسلمين ونحن ذال من هذه الأخطاء تقع من ثلة من أهل الإسلام ألا وهم الخطباء والوعاظ والمعلمون. الخطابة والوعظ والإرشاد والتعليم عباد الله مهام قيادية ومناصب عمادية تبنى عليها ثقافات الأمم وتثبت بها مقومات بقائهم. لذا فإن معلم الناس هو خيرهم كما قال الله عز وجل ومن أحسن قولا ممن دعا إلى الله وعمل صالحا وقال إن من المسلمين. ونبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. وقد مر بخطيب وهو يعظ قومه فقال له بئس خطيب القوم أنت، وما ذلك إلا لأنه جهل جزئية من جزئيات اللغة العربية الدالة على حسن أو سوء العقيدة، مع أنه لم يكن سيء العقيدة، إذ أنه جمع بين الله ورسوله في الضمير فقال: من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد، ومن يعصهما فقد غوى. وهذا لا شك أنه خطأ فادح من أخطاء الخطباء، حري بألا يخطب ولا يعظ ولا يعلم ولا يعلم قومه، لأنه أكثر حاجة منهم للتعلم. والخطيب الذي لا يحسن اختيار المواضيع التي يلقيها على الناس فليس بخطيب جيد، بل بئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتجاهل أخطاء الذين يستمعون له فليس هو بالذي يريد بهم فلاحا، فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي لا يحذر الناس مما يحيق بهم من الأخطار حين تحيق بهم فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب ما يجهلون من أمور بئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتناول في خطبته ما لا علاقة لسامعيه به سوى أن يقول شجاع وجريء فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يأتي بالخطبة بما لم يثبت عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، سواء في طريقة إلقائه للخطبة أو فيما يبثه من أحاديث، فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتأخر في الصعود للخطبة دون سبب، بئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يطيل بهم في خطبته حتى يشق عليهم فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتناول مواضيع عدة في خطبة واحدة حتى يشتت أذهان الناس فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتقعر في كلامه باختيار عبارات غير مفهومة للسامعين فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يتكلف السجع في خطبته فوق ما هو طبيعي فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يختص في خطبته نفسه بدعاء دون غيره فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي لا يبدأ خطبته بالحمد لله ولا يضمنها الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي تخلو خطبته من آية وحديث فبئس خطيب القوم هو. والخطيب الذي يكثر من النقولات عن غير أهل العلم والفضل فبئس خطيب القوم هو. ولا عيب في خطيب يلقي خطبته من أوراق قد أعدها مسبقا لضبط العبارات والوقت. ولا عيب في خطيب يدعو للمسلمين وولاة أمرهم وبلادهم بالخير. ولا عيب في خطيب يخاطب الناس باللغة التي يفهمونها إن كانوا لا يفهمون العربية يخاطبهم بها. ولا بأس في أن يقطع الخطيب خطبته لتوجيه مخطئ أو للاستجابة لمن يتحدث إليه. ومن الخطأ أن يقلد الخطيب في خطبته غير رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في الإلقاء، فيرفع صوته تارة ويخفضه أخرى كالذي يصنعه أرباب صناعة التمثيل والغناء. ومن الخطأ أن يستخدم في خطبته ألفاظا من لغات أخرى وهو يتقن العربية ولا يكون ثم حاجة لاستخدام هذه الألفاظ إلا إبداء اتساع معرفته. ومن الخطأ الذي يقع فيه المتلقون وهم السامعون طلبهم الخطباء الذين تقدمت أخطاؤهم على أنهم هم من لامس ما بدواخلهم، فالخطبة ليست تعبيرا عن آراء الناس تجاه أمور معينة، بل إنها فرصة لتعليم هؤلاء الناس الذين جاءوا ليستمعوا لمن يبين لهم ما يدنيهم من ربهم فيأتونه، وما يقصيهم عن باريهم فينأون عنه. هذا هو الخطيب الناجح، وهؤلاء هم المتلقون العقلاء أما من يلقون المنابر لإلقاء خطب رنانة وحماسات لا تأتي على الناس إلا بالفرقة والخسائر، فهؤلاء غير جديرين أن يكونوا في هذه الأماكن، بل حقهم أن يكونوا ضمن المتلقين لعلهم يستفيدون. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العظيم الجليل لي ولكم، فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله بارئ الأكوان منزل القرآن، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وهو الرحيم الرحمن، وأشهد أن محمدا كافة الإنس والجان، فكان خير خطيب، هو ولد عدنان، فصيح اللسان قوي البيان، خطبه كل تعليما وتوجيها وقرآن. عباد الله، بعيدين عن الخطابة، إذ المقصود منها جميعا واحد، وهو الارتقاء بثقافة حتى يكون في مصاف العباد لله الذين يفهمون الخطاب ويأتون. لذا كان لزاما لمن أراد أن يعلم الناس أن يكون ذا علم، ففاطر الشم من صغار العلم قبل كباره، فليس بمعلم. يقول الإمام القرطبي في تفسير قوله تعالى: ولكن كونوا ربانيين بما كنتم تعلمون الكتاب وبما كنتم تدرسون. قال رحمه الله: والربانيون واحد رباني منسوب إلى الرب، والرباني الذي يربي الناس بصغار العلم قبل كباره، وكأنه يقتدي بالرب سبحانه في تيسير الأمور. ويروي الإمام البخاري رحمه الله عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما قوله: أي كونوا ربانيين حكماء فقهاء. ويقال الرباني هو الذي يربي الناس على صغار العلم قبل كباره، والواعظ الناجح هو من يختار ما يعظ به الناس مما يقع منهم لا من غيرهم، ويتخير الأوقات المناسبة لذلك، ولا يكثر على الناس من الوعظ، ذلك أن الوعظ إيقاظا للقلوب، فإن هي أضحت مقبلة وأتى أصحابها إلى حيث تلقى المواعظ فعلى الواعظ. فهذا دليل على استعدادهم للتلقي، فعلى الواعظ أن لا يكثر عليهم، واترك أيها الواعظ لهم المجال للتعلم، كما قال ابن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه: كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتخولنا بالموعظة مخافة السآمة، ولكنه صلى الله عليه وسلم كان يكثر من مجالس التعليم، فيجلس من بعد صلاة الفجر في مسجده يعلم الناس أمور دينهم وما يقربهم إلى ربهم، ويبين لهم الحلال والحرام. وهكذا كان صلى الله عليه وسلم يفعل على المنبر، وكان يعلمهم على المنبر كيفية الصلاة. وتقول إحدى نساء المؤمنات من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما عقلت سورة قاف إلا من في رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وهو على المنبر يقرأها. فنسأل الله للجميع الهداية والسداد والعلم والتوفيق والرشاد. اللهم إنا نسألك هدى لقلوبنا وغياثا لبلادنا. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم اسقنا الغيث ولا تجعلنا من القانطين. اللهم غيثا مغيثا سحا غدقا طبقا مجللا. اللهم اجعله على رؤوس الجبال وبطون الأودية ومنابت الزرع. اللهم سقيا رحمة لا سقيا عذاب ولا هدم ولا بلاء ولا غرق. اللهم سقيا رحمة لا سقيا هدم ولا عذاب ولا بلاء ولا غرق. اللهم سقيا رحمة لا سقيا هدم ولا عذاب ولا بلاء ولا غرق. اللهم إنا خلق من خلقك، فلا تمنع عنا خيرك بذنوبنا. اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا اللهم أغثنا. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيد الأولين والآخرين وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه أجمعين، وبالأخص خلفائه الراشدين أبي بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي، وصلى وسلم تسليما كثيرا.
الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله، حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة، الله أكبر الله أكبر، لا
إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. الحمد لله، الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. حياكم الله dear brothers and sisters to this new session or new or the translation of the khutbah of today. And as we said, that it's a continuation of the corrections of the mistakes of many Muslims. And today we are speaking about the mistakes of the khutaba and wa'ad and mu'allimun. The khutaba, those who give the khutbah of Jum'ah, Friday ceremony, and the wa'ad, those who give the talks or strikers, and the teachers as well. When we say teachers, we mean the teachers who teaches the religion to the people. There are a number of mistakes that these people commit. Allah Ta'ala said in the Quran, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا وَقَالَ إِنَّنِي مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Who is? Who has the better saying than the one who calls to Allah, who invites to Allah and does good deeds and says that he is from amongst the Muslims? And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith said, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches it. And when he one day passed by a man who was giving a sermon to his people, he said to him, بِئْسَ خَطِيبُ الْقَوْمِ أَنْتِ. What a bad khatib of your people you are. And that was because this man wasn't Habakkuk, wasn't a disbeliever, wasn't non-Arab, but he was Arab. And he was avoiding a mistake in the Arabic usage, in the Arabic terminology, or the using of the pronouns that made him commit this major mistake. He said, whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, then he is the one who being granted the success. And whoever disobeys them, instead of saying Allah and His Messenger, he said them, both, Allah and His Messenger. So he had Allah and His Messenger both joined and the pronoun, which is of course a mistake that Rasulullah clarified. Now, if this happened during the time of Rasulullah, the pure Arabs, and they used to have the proper Aqidah, what about it today? Where even the Arabs do not speak the proper fluent Arabic, the proper Arab. So of course they are going to commit a lot of mistakes. Other than the mistakes, on the way how to conduct the khutbah. And they, most of them today, imitate the khatibs from amongst other than the Muslims. and other than the people of Sunnah. So of course these are mistakes that the khutaba of today make. And the khatib who does not know how to choose the subject that he presents to the people in his khutbah, then he is not a good khatib. And as the Prophet ﷺ says, بئس خطيب القوم أنت. And the khatib who ignores the mistakes of the people listening to him and speaks about the mistakes of other than them is not a good khatib. And he is, as said, بئس خطيب القوم هو. And the khatib who does not warn the people of the danger that surrounds them, then he is not a good khatib. And the khatib who does not teach the people their religion in his khutbah of what they don't know, then he is not a good khatib. As the Prophet ﷺ used to teach the people their religion on the minbar. He taught them how to pray and he practically showed them on the minbar how to pray. And as one of the female companions said, I never memorized Surah Qaf except from the mouth of Rasulullah ﷺ on the minbar. So he used to teach them these things. And the khatib who speaks in his khutbah about things that does not benefit the people who are listening to him, but it's going to make them think that he's brave, then he's a bad khatib, he's not a good khatib. Because you are there not to make people say he is brave, he can speak about politics and he can speak about others. No, this is not the purpose of the minbar and khatib. The purpose of the minbar and khatib is to teach the people. It's not to encourage them to sanctity and make them praise you. And the khatib who brings in his khutbah whatever not been authenticated to Rasulullah ﷺ in the way he presents the khutbah or the ahadith that he brings in the khutbah. If it is not authenticated to Rasulullah ﷺ, then he is not a good khatib. And the khatib who comes to the khutbah very late with no any reason, then he is a bad khatib. He holds the people because he knows that they cannot leave, they cannot go, and maybe they have things to do. So he should not delay them waiting for him. Unless there is a reason. Maybe because only few people came and the others are held by traffic or whatsoever. Or maybe he was sick or something like that. That is a different thing. And this should not be regular. And the khatib that gives the long khutbah, he's not a good khatib. As the Prophet ﷺ said, from the signs of the fiqh of the khatib is that he delivers a short khutbah and is going to be long. Short khutbah, meaningful. Not short khutbah as the meaning. And the khatib who handles many different subjects in his khutbah till the people get confused and come out of the khutbah knowing nothing of what he wants to say or convey to them, then he is not a good khatib. And the khatib who chooses words which are, as they call it, dull, or words that are very strange to the people to know, because some people go to the old dictionary and try to extract words from the early Arab language, which is too difficult for the Arabs to understand today rather than an Arab. So this is another good khatib. Because the khatib must speak in language that people can understand. And the khatib who speaks in a way that is called in Arabic sajjah, meaning the last row of every clause would be the same or would have the same letter, like the poem. That is not a good khatib. That is not a good khatib. And the khatib who does not begin his khutbah with Alhamdulillah, and he does not bring the salatu wassalam ala Rasulullah in the khutbah, then he is not a good khatib. And the khatib who is his khutbah does not include an ayah of the Quran and a hadith from the hadith of Rasulullah, then he is not a khatib. He only uses his own wording and he brings from others, but not from Rasulullah, not from the Quran. That is not a good khatib. And there is no warning if the khatib writes his khutbah on papers and convey it from the papers, but not to read them like reading a book. And there is no mistake, no wrong with the khatib who speaks to the people with the language they understand if they don't understand Arabic. If the people do not understand, if he is speaking to other language speakers who do not understand Arabic at all, it's not correct to speak to them in Arabic because they're not going to understand you. And there is no benefit of the khutbah in it. Or if you are speaking to whatsoever other language, you got to speak to them in a language that they understand. And there is no mistake if the imam, if the khatib stops, cuts the khutbah, stops, and corrects someone who is wrong, or he answers a question from someone who is there, or responds to a request of the audience, as Rasulullah did, and as Umar as well did. And from the mistake, the major mistake that the khutaba do, is that they imitate in the way of conveying the khutbah other than Rasulullah. So sometimes they raise their voices, sometimes they lower it. In a way, in the same way of the actors and singers, which is not correct too. And from the mistakes that the khutaba do, is they may convey the khutbah in Arabic, but they try to use some words from other than Arabic. For nothing, except that the people think that he is very, eloquent, which is of course wrong. But if it is needed because this word is only known by this language, then no problem. As we all know that in the Quran, for example, Allah Ta'ala says, فَرَّتْ مِنْ قَسْوَرَةٍ. All the ulama of tafsir, they say, قَسْوَرَةٍ is not Arabic word. قَسْوَرَةٍ means the layah, asad. Asad in Arabic. So قَسْوَرَةٍ is a word of the old Abyssinians. That's in their language. So it is only used because the Arabs, yani, maybe that time did not know or whatsoever, but it was known to them. And from the mistake the listeners who listen to the khatib make is that they choose the khatib that they go to from those who have the mistakes that we mentioned, saying that, oh, when he speaks, he touches the heart. Touches the heart on what? Not on his mistake, but on the mistakes of others. So he likes to come to a theater, not to a mosque. He likes to come to a theater to listen to someone criticizing others. That's it. So he likes to listen to the criticism on the members of politicians or whatsoever others, which is wrong. Which is wrong. The listeners should choose the khatib that they go to, who only convey the message to them that benefits them, that corrects them, that brings them closer to Allah. This is the khatib you need to choose. However, those who climb the members only to convey a very strong political khutbah or even a strike. Yani some khutbah are only known by what? When they climb the member, they cry and make people cry. That's it. What is the education in that khutbah? No education. It is very emotional. So they make him cry. That's it. Rasulullah did not used to do that. It was reported that maybe once or two times in the whole lifetime of Rasulullah, he made people cry. And when he made them cry, he made them cry yani, with the knowledge. Through the knowledge. When he told them about what is going to be seen in the day of resurrection. But this wasn't his regular way of conveying the khutbah. All of his khutbahs were to handle out something new for the people to learn. And especially today, when people are too busy to sit to circles of knowledge, then on Friday when they come and they are forced to sit and listen and not to get involved with any other things, then the khatib must convey a very good khutbah for them, teaching them what they don't know. Other than that, he is not a good khatib. Not that khatib who only speaks out of sympathy and makes people either laugh or cry, but it is the khatib who makes them cry for themselves that they committed these things or they did not know these things. This was the first part of the khutbah, and the second was a continuation of that after praising Allah and sending peace and blessings to Rasulullah. I said then, all prayers of Allah, teaching people and advising them or giving them the wa'd, striking, is not far away from khataba, from what is being conveyed on the member. Because the purpose of these three ways of conveying the information is one. It is to elevate the people from one level to a higher level. That is the purpose of the khutbah teachings and the maw'idah or strike. That's why it is obligatory upon the one who wants to teach, who wishes to teach the people by any means of these three ways, to be somebody who has knowledge. As the one who does not have the knowledge, you cannot convey it. And knowledge is not emotion. I like to benefit them. This is itself is not enough. You have to go and seek the knowledge so you can convey it. Today about Islam, you find them speak out of knowledge. They speak without knowledge. Only little number of them who speak out of knowledge, who speak with knowledge. But the majority speak without any knowledge. And that's why you hear a lot of mistakes. Maybe as a common person you cannot differ between what's wrong with right. And you find that he says something good. And because it is conveyed on TV where you cannot correct, you cannot hear people correcting, you can only listen to him, then you cannot know what is right, what is wrong. Not like in the masjid, for example, when he says anything wrong, people correct him. So you can hear the other side. But on TV, where today the major university for people, the major source of knowledge, of information for people, is the TV. And that's why we did use to complain about the open TV channels. TV channels which bring music and, all these bad things. Today, we are suffering of worse than that, which is a religious TV channel, but based on ignorance. Someone might say, how come you criticize an Islamic TV channel? At the time where there are hundreds and maybe thousands of non-Islamic TV channels. We say yes. Although the number of the Islamic TV channels compared to the non-Islamic TV channels is nothing, but yet this number of Islamic TV channels is demolishing and destroying on the Muslim Ummah more than those non-Islamic TV channels. Because what these Islamic TV channels bring is wrong. And they are making the people to understand that this is the right thing to be upon. And let me just give you one example. A TV channel brings a man teaching in a stadium, not in the masjid, of course, but in the stadium. Half of the stadium, young men, half of the stadium, young women. What does this mean? It's not his teaching. It's a message now conveyed to the people that this is the regular and common thing in Islam. So it becomes something common to them now. Wherever they go, man and woman, no problem. No problem. As in the past, for example, when there was a segregation between men and women, whenever we used to go on a plane and one of us is given a seat next to a woman, the woman complained. Today, neither the woman nor the man complain. Because they are now, they are already absorbed this kind of understanding from these kind of TV channels. And they call it Islamic TV channels. And some of them, they bring a sheikha, a female sheikh. And believe it or not, they dress almost like the man, except with the coloring and the design, that's it. The sheikh sits like this with the vest on it, and the woman comes on a scarf like this, but colorful and decorated, and a vest. But it's not like the man's vest, but has some female touch. So, and then they say, this is the way. So a woman, sheikh, woman, maybe next future you see a sheikha imam and a sheikha teacher sitting teaching the people. Allah Allah. So these all are coming from this type of TV channels that they call it Islamic TV channels. So as you said, how do we know the alim who's teaching the other? When you see the alim goes with the people gradually from the basics and does not move from the basics. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lived for 63 years. 23 years of his life as a Prophet Messenger. 13 years out of the 23 was only conveying Tawheed. And nothing else other than Tawheed. That was in Mecca. So more than half of his life of da'wah was spent on one thing. And that's what he told Mu'adh when he sent him to Yemen. He said, you're going to see people of sculpture and of kitab. So do not. So call them to La ilaha illallah. And do not move until they are convinced with it. Until they agree. And then until they accept it. Then you take them to Salah. And do not move from it until they accept it. Look at that. They might not accept for a long time. You have to stay. Nuh alayhi salam, 950 years, only calling the people to La ilaha illallah. Nothing else. He did not call them to nothing else but La ilaha illallah. So what does that mean? We are not in a racing. The problem of education today, even in the proper education institutes, the problem today is we want to finish the curriculum. We don't want to teach the curriculum. We want to finish the curriculum. That's it. Whether I'm by this semester. It's planned. This semester we have to finish it this semester. And that's wrong, of course. Rasulullah and all the messengers of Allah did not go on this kind of teaching. But their teaching was to stick to the people until they understand it. Then they take them to a higher level. If they don't understand it, what is the benefit to you take them to a higher level? And what is the benefit to leave them there and you go? What is the benefit? When Yunus alayhi salam called his people for some time and they did not accept from him, he left them. What happened when he left them? He said, you don't want to accept? I leave you. He left them. What happened? Allah Ta'ala made the boat to be loaded more than what it's supposed. So they had, what do you call this, Qur'an? They lost. And in every time, Yunus was the one who be, and he got lost to go off the boat. And in the third time, he jumped off, and guess what? The boat is small, and the boat is only in the coast. No worms can come there. But Allah Ta'ala decreed that a worm to be there, open mouth, swallow Yunus alayhi salam. Yunus remained there in the darkness of the bottom of the stomach of the whale. And the whale dives in the depth of the ocean. All this that Allah Ta'ala to give us a lesson to us. Not only to Yunus, to us. Not to be hurried in the da'wah. And then when he repented and admitted his mistake by leaving them, Allah Ta'ala commanded the whale to throw him back again to his land. Not to any other land. But back again to that land. So we have to get the benefit of this lesson. People today are in a hurry. They want to say that we have graduated 1,000 students. Our institute holds 1,000 students and we have rejected many applications. kind of, you know, exercise with Musa is his action. So it is really important for us to understand that no problem to go, and you all know the story of the racing between the rabbit and the tortoise. Huh? What is that? Tortoise and the hare. So you all know that. But who goes on a proper way will reach safe. Will reach safe. Imam Al-Qurtubi rahimahullah ta'ala said in his tafsir, and the tafsir of the ayah where Allah ta'ala says, وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ. He said, الرَّبَّانِيُّ, this is a plural of Rabbani. And Rabbani is, means, and it refers back to Rabb, Allah ta'ala. And then he said, وَالرَّبَّانِيُّ الَّذِي رَبِّ النَّاسَ بِصِغَارِ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ كِبَارِهِ. The Rabbani is the scholar, is the teacher, who takes the people gradually from the low levels to the high levels. But gradually, because when you take people that, yani, just like that, a jump from low level to high level, like what is happening today, yani, and this is a message. And good that our brother Sheikh Tahir is here. He can either agree or disagree. He's one of them. And nobody can tell you about something except the person who lives in it. Many of the rivers today go abroad. They come from their land to either Saudi Arabia or Yemen or wherever, and study some Arabic. And I mean it. Some Arabic. Only some Arabic. And by that they become sure. By that they become sure. Maybe they memorize some statements or terminologies of certain fields of knowledge. And I mean, for example, jarh wa ta'dil, or even terminology of hadith, or some names of the scholars in the past who, when you mention their names, the people get, who's this? And then you start, you know, just to show people that. And then they become the scholars. And call to what? They call people to the ignorance. This is very important that you become the scholar. But it is important that you become, when you are a scholar, you be a proper scholar. Or better for you not to be a scholar. That's it. Very simple. If you are not a caller, Allah is not going to ask you. Not like Jamal al-Tabligh say, Allah is going to ask us why you did not convey the message. Allah will ask you why you did not convey the message if you have the message. But if you don't have the message, Allah is not going to ask you why you did not convey the message. Allah doesn't want you to go and steal the message and go and convey it. You cannot steal it and go and convey it. Exactly like, for example, you have two people, but you don't have money. Allah is going to punish you because you did not give them money. Allah knows that you have no money. And if you go and steal money, if you go and rob a bank and give all the money to the misakeen, Allah will put you in the fire. Allah will put you in the fire. Although you help those misakeen, but you are stolen, you are robbed, you are... Now, you are a criminal. So, we take and what to give. When we go and learn, the goal of ours should not be, when can I be that man? No. But it should be, which field should I take? How can I understand it? And also, me is the one who should be there. But it should, what we need to have in mind is we protect the ummah from giving to the fire. Whether us who call directly, or maybe some people, you never see them, I'm sure that many of the great tulab al-ilm today, they never ever sat to a man like Bakr Abu Zayd. Why? Because Bakr Abu Zayd is well known, but he's well known by his books. It does not mean that he did not convey the message. He conveyed the message through a certain means. Not necessarily to be seen on the member or on a TV channel, but the important thing is whatever mean you take to convey the message, you must be excellent on it. Otherwise, leave it for others. Because if you are not good in it, you are going to convey many wrong things. And then I am sorry, is that enough? It's not enough on the day of resurrection, no sorry is to be accepted. No sorry is to be accepted. It's either your right or the fire. Now, and then, I'm also the one who gives the talks, the strikes. Some people are not very strong in teaching, but when they give wa'ad, a reminder, mashallah, they're good. Now, these people also need to be knowledgeable. They got to go and seek knowledge. Not because it is it's a way of teaching. It's a way of conveying the message. It's not because Allah gave you the ability how to touch the heart. You didn't assign yourself as a wa'ib. La. You have to remember that it is also one way of conveying the message of Allah. So if you are not one of those carriers of the message of Allah, do not try to convey nothing. And if you are a wa'id, do not do a lot of wa'id to the people. As Ibn Mas'ud said, the Rasulullah ﷺ used to sometimes, from time to time, give us maw'idah. And no one can be as good wa'id as Rasulullah ﷺ. But he only used to give them sometimes, not all the time. People today, every day maw'idah, and no teaching. So the people now are full of iman, but they don't know what to do to please Allah. When they come to pray, they are full of iman, but they don't know how to pray. So Allah is displeased with them. When they want to fast, they are full of iman, they like to fast, but they don't know what to do. So Allah is displeased with them. And the like. So we have to teach the people. As long as now they are coming to the place where maw'idah and dars and this, then you have to teach them what benefits them, what makes them worship Allah correctly. And first thing we begin with them is the aqidah. We have to teach them the aqidah. And do not ignore the old issues. The old issues, what I mean by the old issues, like the thoughts of the Mu'tazila, thoughts of the Khawari, thoughts of the Qadariya, of the Rabida. It is widely spread today. Widely spread today. And on TV channels. And a few weeks ago, I saw a guy who was being interviewed on a TV channel, and he is conveying the exact messages of these jama'at, or he is saying that all the children of Adam at the end are going to go to Jannah. So he's saying like that. No sin can make no one remain in the fire. Even shirk. As long as he's a relative of Adam, khalas. He only needs to prove that he's a relative to Adam. That's it.
If he's not related to Adam, then a problem. Then a problem. And he is a doctor. He's a doctor, he carries a PhD. And imagine now on a TV channel, someone has a PhD is speaking like that. Everybody will take his speech as, that's it. That's it. And we are today in a time where Allah musta'an, these kind of names, D-R, capital D, small r, duh, is the important thing. Sometimes he's a dentist. And speaks about Islam, but because dentist is called doctor, so, doctor so-and-so. And sometimes, I don't know what you call the doctor of animals, what do you call it?
Veterinarian.
Veterinarian. And he comes and speaks about Islam. Look. So, times this, thing is happening today, and this is a fact. This is what's happening today. People do not even ask what kind of doctor he is. One of the very famous doctors today is a doctor in chemistry. And he's speaking in Islam more than the people of knowledge of Islam today. Like Ibn Baz or Uthaymeen. He has number of tapes that is now more than the tapes of Albani. All about Islam. Not even one single tape about the field that he is a specialist in. Because he only presents himself as an Islamic teacher. Doctor so and so. And that's not. So we, even the listeners, need to learn to whom we listen. To whom we listen. And by that we came to the end of the khutbah of today. Allah Ta'ala alamu sallallahu sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam. If there is any question, otherwise we might need something.